Dad Mod's Media Machine presents the Brews with the Dudes podcast.
Caliper, so you flick it, it just...
Is that the only thing that you flick that makes that noise?
I'm going to say yes, because I hope. It's like, what? I mean, are we talking about vaginas here?
Yeah. Like, could be.
You flick them? I've heard the flick the bean line before.
Yeah, I guess you shouldn't flick it.
It's a funny expression, though.
It's a fun expression.
I don't know who came up with that. It's not the most accurate thing in the world, but it's pretty good.
It's a little violent for my liking.
Yeah.
Probably a guy that never had any success with women.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't get one.
You know, that would be such a cunty move too. Just like, things aren't going the way you want.
No pun intended.
She giggles at your member size or something, yeah. And so you flick her bean.
Or you think I'm here, might as well.
Yeah, right. It's a pretty good troll. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Brews with the Dudes podcast. I am Jake Lindquist.
I am Donnie Allen.
And with us is Ryan.
Another Ryan. Yeah, not the same Ryan. He didn't just magically grow hair overnight.
I'm the second round draft pick.
Yeah, you're the younger clone.
You're the backup, Ryan.
Yeah, pretty much.
So Ryan Peterson?
Yes,
Ryan Peterson.
So there's Peterson and Johnson, which are like the two most white last names you could possibly have.
They really are.
It doesn't get much whiter than that.
No.
Yeah, because like it's Norwegian for. Oh, yeah. Norwegian for Peter's son, right? Yeah. It all started that.
It's as simple as that.
John's son and Peter's son.
Yep. That's so damn funny. I mean, simple. I guess it works.
Incredibly creative. Incredibly creative.
It is. It's pretty profound. Yeah, man. Well, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me.
You know, I know Donnie's probably been bugging you for a while. You're probably getting pretty sick of it. He wore you down.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
week and a half, 2 weeks.
Yeah. I had to corner him in an alley and threaten to break his kneecaps.
Was that before or after you tried to make love to him?
During.
Oh, nice.
It's a little bit of foreplay. And
yeah, that's the talk dirty.
Come on the podcast.
I'm going to break your kneecaps.
What are you doing with that 2x4? Jesus Christ. I can only imagine what work must look like with the two of you working together.
We don't work together.
You don't?
Which is probably why some shit gets done.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
When we did work together, we actually got a lot of shit done.
It was good. It was entertaining.
So what's funny is when you actually enjoy the people you're working with, you find a way to get your shit done with the least amount of effort. So you're highly productive because of all of it.
Yeah.
And every time management comes around, like, you guys are always talking. It's like, we're a truck and a half ahead.
Yeah, the shit's right. Done.
Yeah, shut up. Yeah. We got our shit done.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose you got to be careful with that, though. Like, if they see that you got your hands in your pocket, they're like, well, then I suppose we'll give you more work.
It's all
Do they ever pull
no.
that?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they do for you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you guys are incredibly productive in your head. Oh, here's other people's work. That's not that they're nowhere near as productive. They're slacking. You can do their work now.
The philosophy, when you're good at your job, you do your job and somebody else's.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That makes sense.
Right. Good God. All right. Well, let's drink about it.
Yeah.
So, you both are darker beer fans and...
Oh.
Donnie had mentioned ambers. So you guys like ambers?
Yep, I'll do it.
Okay.
I'll drink whatever.
If you guys have ever had Alaskan amber.
Coors?
Actually, I don't mind Coors.
I'd say it's probably the easiest thing to drink.
Well, yeah, it's just flavored water.
Yeah.
You could have a Capri Sun and it's stronger than a Coors.
Yeah.
Capri Sun. Nice. See, everybody gets it. Everyone takes it away from the microphone.
Expensive?
Yep. So, I've never actually had anything by Alaskan before. It's an alt-style ale, but, I mean, it said amber all over the box, so I figured.
That's actually pretty good. I haven't had an amber in a while, and...
I've had it before.
Oh, sure. It's a little bit Killian's-ish.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of Killian's.
Alaskan makes good stuff.
That's a tasty beer.
They make good stuff.
I like the fact that it's got a ship on the front of it. That's pretty badass.
I know you had mentioned, a Castled Angel Cream Ale. That's like your all-time favorite.
That's my go-to.
They were sold out where I stopped.
Really?
Yeah. I was going to just grab that.
Holiday?
They were sold out. Yeah. Yeah, like my 3-2 Castled Angel.
Oof.
No, it's, what was the name of it? It's the Quick Trip Liquor Store in Scanlan. Tried stopping there.
I didn't know Quick Trip had a liquor store there.
Quick Spirits.
Yes. Okay, that makes sense.
Quick Spirits?
Yep. Quick Spirits.
Mm-hmm. They're actually closing that place down soon.
Why?
Really?
They're
that sounds like a very highly successful.
Oh, it is. It is. I think. Well, right now they're putting an addition onto it because they're making it a full-on truck stop, and then they're getting rid of that area so they have more room for parking.
Gotcha. Okay.
That sucks. I get why.
That's not even a good exit to go if you're a truck, though.
No, it's not.
Every single on-ramp is going to be hell for you.
Oh, God. Just, like, trying to get back, like, leaving that parking lot to get back head on I-35. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be a nightmare with a fucking 60-footer.
Well, that's the one that's got the median kind of in the middle, right? So it's, like, four lanes of traffic. Yeah, two lanes each way and a turn lane, right?
Precisely.
Okay, yeah. That's such a disaster.
Yeah, it's a sketchy spot.
And then when you got to go southbound, you make that massive U-turn.
Oh, that's right.
And then you're just turning onto it blind and hoping that people move over.
So why a truck? Yeah. That doesn't make sense then.
I was trying to figure it out. I don't know.
Well, that's true. That is like one of the shortest on-ramps ever, too.
It's the
like
worst one.
You're coming around a horseshoe, and then you have to be up to 65 miles an hour in this like 100 feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and the off-ramp coming northbound, too. Same thing. Except for slowing down.
Super sketchy, yeah.
Yeah, except slowing down. It's going to suck.
Well, and Scanlon's not that far from Duluth, where I feel you need a truck stop.
Mm-hmm.
Hinkley makes sense. You're in between two big cities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I understand having a full-blown truck stop. But if you're in Scanlon, you're literally, what, 15 minutes from Duluth? Probably what's your destination.
Yeah.
If you're driving a truck up here, there's not a lot of trucks that go further than Duluth.
Hmm. Yeah, good point.
So why a truck stop there?
I don't know.
And like even if you're going to Wisconsin, there's what, two or three? Well, yeah, there's that Quick Trip in just outside of Superior.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they know something we don't know.
They must.
I don't own any gas station, so I guess my advice is probably shitty on the subject.
Yeah. So, Ryan, how's that 350Z been treating you?
It's good. It's good.
Nice. Got her all back together. You've been driving it for a year plus, right, since the paint job?
Just about a year. Nice. Yeah, I think it's just over. Somewhere around there.
That's cool, man. Yeah, because you had Brownie do the painting on it.
Yep.
And then weren't you going to do some, was it suspension mods? I can't remember what it was that was like the next thing you were going to be doing.
Oh, I don't even know what I want to do anymore. It's been...
Turn signals?
Oh. I do still need to add miscellaneous crap to it. I don't have the logo or the emblems on it at all. I've just been lazy with it. But, at some point I want to do an engine swap, but...
Really?
That's for when I have a house and all that stuff.
So VQ35 right now. And
pull it out.
What would be coming out? What would be going in?
Ooh.
Flat four.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He loves rod knob.
Make it as unreliable as possible.
As a Subaru lover, I would absolutely never even think about doing that. No, I've always been a fan of Audi 5-cylinders.
Mm-hmm.
So the cheapest option is a Volkswagen 5-cylinder, if you know what an 07K is.
I have no idea, but educate us.
Anytime you find a 2.5-liter Jetta that's in like 06 to 2012 or something, it's got a 5-cylinder in it, which is pretty fun, I think.
So you can make power out of those things?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You can make, I don't know, around 500 or so.
Oh, no shit. Which would be
perfect in the Z.
That'd be a laugh. Awesome.
So what are you going to be building it for then? Because I can't see you drifting that thing.
No, I don't want to drift at all.
And I've seen you drive. You shouldn't drift.
No. I know I'd suck at drifting, so I wouldn't even try.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure that you want to do road course stuff with your BMW.
Yep.
Same thing.
Okay, so except I need to make more power out of the SR so I can kick his ass.
Well, keep in mind, your BMW weighs like 30% less than my car.
Oh, yeah, and it's worth far less. I just put you into a wall.
That's fair.
Jesus Christ.
So long as I don't fuck up the drivetrain.
Well, I don't know with that SR. I don't know. It might be worth a little more now.
If I can ever get the thing moving.
True.
Under its own freaking power.
What's the 350 weigh?
3,200, I believe.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, because they
that's not so bad.
They weigh a little bit more because of the structure and the doors and stuff, right?
Oh, God, it's so
because
much.
Because they wanted to make it safer. So the
doors
come up, like,
are
your neck.
So goddamn heavy.
Yeah.
I can't tell how many times I've shinned myself just from it closing on me.
Jesus. Well, cool. That's a good, like, long-term plan, though,
yeah.
for it.
Yeah.
Like, get it to road course quality and then potentially do a big engine swap.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
could be a laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At some point. Right now, that VQ runs way better than it has any right to.
Oh, yeah. Just drive that into the ground.
Oh, yeah.
It's supposed to, 'cause you guys are trying to buy a house, well, build a house, yeah, buy well, property, all that stuff.
Yeah, whatever, like, we're trying to do now.
Being an adult first,
mm-hmm.
because it'd be cool to have a 5-cylinder swapped Z, but if you
but
have
where
no
am I gonna do it at?
If you have no place to go to bed at night,
yeah,
well, your priorities are out of line.
Yeah. Are they though? You're not sounding like a car guy right now.
Well, if you had a wagon, then you'd be set, but you can't sleep in the Z.
But you could buy a van.
You should buy a van.
See,
you should
I
totally
want,
buy a van. That's a way better idea.
I want
and
an
cheaper.
S4 wagon. That's what I want. But
okay,
they don't,
still cheaper than a
they
house.
Don't have them in the U.S., so.
You could probably import Fair. It and still come out like $100,000 cheaper than a house.
Oh, probably. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah, cool. And so, for more life events and advice, just email us.
Yeah, pretty much. So, okay, you're thinking about building a house, right?
Yeah.
So, what's the style? Are you going to do one of those crazy, like, massive garages with a house in it?
Well,
or are you going to be doing, like, a separate house, you know, the dwelling separate from the shop? Like, what's your plan with that?
So, I found out that the banks hate the idea of building one of those, like, barn dominiums,
mm-hmm.
where it's, you know, a 60 by 100 pole barn and then make half it a living space. They hate it because
It's probably high risk.
No normal person is going to look at that and be like, wow, that's beautiful. You know, I mean, us car guys, we look mm-hmm. at it and be like, oh, well, why don't you make it, you know, 60 by 120 and make the garage a little bigger?
You're like, yeah,
it's a masterpiece.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I need exactly. a big ass garage with a broom closet for a cot.
Oh, 100%.
Pretty much.
But, yeah.
Well, what I always wanted, I always wanted a loft. I wanted a, buy a fucking warehouse,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to have, like, a loft area and just live in that. So, like, an apartment with a massive fucking garage.
Oh, yeah. If I didn't have kids, I'd totally do that.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, yeah. I'd probably still do that.
Yeah.
Just something to suck it up.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just throw them outside. They won't even notice.
Exactly. They like being outside.
So they're called barn dominiums?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. So that's what's been making its, like, rounds on the internet. Like,
oh, yeah.
There's been a couple of them built, and all mm-hmm. like, every car guy was like, holy fuck.
That's it.
I've seen a couple of them where it's, like, the whole front of it opens up. It's almost mm-hmm. like hidden garage doors is, like, the whole front panel of the thing, like, opens up.
Yeah.
Don't they have somewhere wild. They put, like, a porch on the front of them, and the porch will slide up with it, too?
Yeah, that's what it was. That was the video that I had seen. I don't know, some crazy man.
That would be
that.
Really sweet until you forgot, like, your cat's hanging out there or something.
Or your kids.
Or your kids. Or your kids, yeah.
Although, if you think about it, it's probably pretty safe because the way that it's tipping up, the kid's not going to fall out. They're going to tip backwards to the wall, and then when it comes back down, the kid will just be like, wow, do it again.
Wow, that was awesome.
Just have a rocking chair.
Yeah.
It's pretty much,
Okay, cool.
It's a very high, a very inefficient electricity-wise rocking chair. Yeah.
Yeah.
that's fucking cool, though, man. Like, so what's the practical thing? Like, what are you going to think? What do you think you're going to end up with?
So I know Shaylee really likes tiny houses.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
I have absolutely,
of a car
I have
guy
absolutely
house,
zero want for that. At 100% zero want for that.
Mm-hmm. You could barely have a Hot Wheels collection in one of those.
Oh, I wouldn't even say that. You couldn't even do that.
You do a tiny house and then like just a big ass garage and tell her to suck it up.
Yeah, well, step in the right direction, but still no. Because I still have to live in the tiny house. Oh no, I'll just live in the garage. Yeah.
Exactly. She can have her tiny house and you have a garage to live in.
But the actual want that we both agreed in is just a single level, no basement, just slab house. Just nice and easy.
Nice. Heated slab.
Oh, yeah.
Simple,
oh,
like, what, a 40 by 50, 40 by 30, something like that.
Yep.
That would work out just nice.
Oh, yeah. It would just check all the boxes, nice and easy.
And you're looking at properties with, you know, 5-6 acres on them. That's more than enough space for something like that. And you're still not going to feel like you're on top of anybody.
No, not at all.
Well, and it leaves you a shitload of money for garage, too, depending on what your budget is.
And I don't even have the property yet, and I've already designed the garage I want, obviously.
So how big?
Just 40 by 64.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. That's just the starting point.
Fucking right. Man, you're going to fill that with so many bad ideas.
Oh, yeah.
Don't
so
get
many
me started.
Bad decisions.
Oh.
I guess that is the perk of having a small garage, is it helps you... It helps you stay focused on the projects you do have, because if you don't have a car running, you're tripping over it constantly, and you're not acquiring a lot of crap.
That's true.
Like, I'm constantly going through my garage and cleaning it out. I'm like, oh, do I really need this? No.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, that's a very good point. Like, well, I have lake property now, mm-hmm. and oh. like, you know, the family is a series of acquisitions mm-hmm. where it's like, we've got, I think, 60 some odd acres and like a quarter mile of lakeshore that's kind of up north.
Yeah.
A fucking awesome place.
Well, that sounds great.
Grandparents owned it, and then it's been slowly like passed on to my dad, mm-hmm. and then I'm getting a big chunk of it, and so it's pretty cool setup. Yeah. But what one of the first thoughts is like, oh, I can store shit up there. Like, I got a shitload of land up there. I can just, you know, I can park whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
I just got to build a big fucking garage.
But it's very doable.
It's dangerous, man. It's extremely dangerous. And I'm trying to talk you into shit, too. I'm like, yeah, you should get a pop-up tent camper. And
oh, yeah.
Like, where the fuck would I store it? And I'm like, you can store it up at my cabin. So now it's bleeding over into affecting your family,
yeah,
too.
I've lost how many times you've tossed that at me. Like, oh, yeah, if you find this, you can just easily store it up here. Yeah. I'm just like,
not a big deal. It'll just hang out up at my cabin.
I don't need that.
No, you really don't.
I take that back. I've been making a mistake and searching for things on Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Shouldn't be looking for.
That is dangerous.
I haven't found anything yet because luckily my Marketplace app has been all fucky last week. But I've been looking for brats again.
Oh, like,
every time I get enough money where I could afford one that would be a good project, I'm like, I should see if I can find one instead of just being smart and just.
Well, that one's a little less rotten than the other one.
Right. What you should do is you should, like, when you feel that impulse where you're like, oh, I've got like $4,000 in the bank right now.
Punch myself in the thigh.
No. Like, pretend like you don't have that $4,000 and then wait until you're at the next $4,000. And then go buy yourself a really nice one that you can just drive right out the gate.
I like that idea, but then I'd feel really bad for beating the shit out of it. And
why?
Because if it's really, really nice.
It's a car, bro. I mean, it's not like you're going to be out there like kissing walls, drifting it or something stupid
like
that. No balls.
Yeah. I would never do that.
Is that the plan? Like, are you going to buy a brat to drift?
He's going
to
start 20 swapping. Right. There's a perfectly good M50 too, or an M20 that can go right in it.
M20 with the turbo?
Yeah.
I like the way that sounds.
I don't think that would fit in a brat. I don't think the engine bays were big enough.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have to get the firewall and have it kind of sit next to you.
Oh, shit. You're right, though, because it's for being a four-cylinder, it's horizontally opposed four-cylinder. So it's actually, you've got space for two cylinders.
So that's funny.
You're fucked, bro.
No, I'm not fucked.
You're going to have to cut the firewall.
Nothing is fucked here. So the brat that inspired my love for him when I discovered it, like, I think it was 14 or 15, was this ratted piece of shit, and it had a 13B swapped into it, and it was a drift missile.
Ooh,
and 13B,
just rotary.
You want to get in the rotary?
I didn't say I wanted to do a rotary swap.
No, see, I'm just 100% in favor of that. You should definitely do that because it's not on my dime; it's on yours.
Dude, you're just saying like we could make some really funny content when he breaks it and it doesn't work out and.
No, dude, no, it'll be great because it's any good story has like there's a good narrative, there's a good storyline to it. There's like highs and lows mm-hmm. and strikes and gutters and all that good shit. And that definitely would have lots of that. It'd be very dramatic. Like, oh, this is more expensive than I thought. Oh, this fucking rotary won't like cool itself. It's overheating. Oh, this blew up. A fucking apex seal. Turbo puked its guts out.
A ton
of
drinking
on camera.
It's
drifting everywhere. Yeah. I think it'd be great. I think you should fucking do it. So does that mean I'm getting the RX-7?
Eventually.
Oh, yeah.
It's been confirmed.
Interesting. Okay.
If I ever acquire a brat, I'd probably sign over my half of the RX-7 to you.
Okay. So I'll help fund the brat. Interesting. Yeah.
So see, it's going to be your problem just as much as my problem.
Okay, so then we're definitely going to make all the decisions about the RX-7 with my...
Well,
my ideas.
We've discussed this before. sorry, Ryan. I know you're our guest, but we have a personal conversation.
Oh, I love watching this.
T56.
I'm 100% on board building it more towards what you'd like to do.
Oh, yeah?
Simply because at the end of the day, I have a fun car to go rip around a track on.
I had a fun car.
You can't. Okay, if we wanted to go to a movie and get ice cream afterwards.
I would totally pay to see that thing on the track.
100%. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I'll take it on the track. Like, which wait, which track? What are we talking about?
I don't even care.
Autocross might not be so so good for it, but I'd take it on a road course.
Oh, I'd love to watch everything. So, drift, road course, autocross.
I'm not even kidding. The thought has crossed my mind. I do know of one that's like a business coupe version, so it's like the smaller. This is a two-door sedan is what they're considered. It's fucking silly. So it's like it's longer, bigger interior. So coupes were generally two-seaters, and a two-door sedan is a four-seater, so four or five. So, and then there's the regular four-door sedan, which is obviously four doors. Yeah. Kind of goofy. That's how they used to do it with like a lot of classic cars that's back weird. In the day. So there's a business coupe that's down in the cities that I've been eyeing up for a while now. It's really reasonably priced. And I was like, oh man.
I'm the one that needs to, you know, check everything.
I've been watching it for a while. I'm waiting for it to get cheap.
Yeah,
enough.
I've only been looking for a Brat for like 10 years.
Yeah, and I only found a Model A two-door that I really wanted to pick up too, you know?
Yeah.
The shit happens, but... what were you talking about as far as the RX-7 goes? You got my interest here.
Well, so again, I kind of have a car I can go rip around on, a toy car, for lack of better words. As, yes, you can do track time with that if you wanted to, but that's more of a cruiser, I feel, than a...
Yeah.
I'm going to go thrash
yeah,
on
it. Yeah, it totally is.
So, I mean, if the time came to where I wanted to pick up my own drift car or whatever, like that's easily feasible... But if we go to Proving Grounds or Power Cruise or something like that, odds are you're going to drive the RX-7 there, and I'm still going to drive my BMW.
Okay, that's fair. I kind of see where your rationale is.
I'm kind of
going to
have, I'm going to kind of already have a track toy. Mm-hmm. Is it a drift car? No, but it's still a track toy.
Right, right. Okay, yeah, that kind of makes a lot of sense. So it's like the likelihood that you would be wanting to get rid of your half of the build, which is funny that we're airing this out on the podcast, but you know, this is so the viewers understand.
There's
the,
like four people that are going to watch internal this, and workings. Three of them are sitting at the table.
I don't know, man. Our numbers are up.
It's
we're double digits now.
Thank you, all 11 of you.
Yeah, exactly. No, that makes a lot of sense. But obviously, we'll work all that fun stuff out.
Ryan, if you were irresponsible and had $10,000, what would you build?
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. What would I build or
what
would I buy?
We're talking about Brats and the RX-7, so, which are, I don't want to say shitboxes. They're not shitboxes, but they're...
No.
They're fun cars that you don't really have to care that much about.
I mean, I want to get my Z swapped.
Yeah, but you care about your Z.
That's true.
So if you had to have a car that you're going to do drifting with or make it into a track toy or whatever, but you really, at the end of the day, didn't have to give a shit about it, what would you have?
You know, if I was going for a drift car, I'd just buy like an E36 and then turbo the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good choice. E36, they're not that expensive.
No, they're not. That's, you know, buy it and turbo it for $5,000, slam it into a wall, buy another one, turbo it, and slam it into a wall.
That's how you spent $10,000 on a BMW.
Yeah.
Well, just like the regular 3 Series, 4-door or 2-door, they're fantastic cars for sliding around.
Oh, yeah.
That's
great.
Doesn't matter.
And you can get one that's clapped out for $1,200, $1,500 probably.
The M52 is a solid motor, and that's not even the performance one. You know, so it's like the S52, S54 is the M3 version. Yeah, so
I had
bad
experience with an M52.
Yes,
I don't want to talk about that.
But you know, point being, like
they are
it's
really good.
A very driftable vehicle, even just like from the factory. In fact, I was talking to Ryan Humes, who's kind of like a local drift legend. The guy just like built super cool, fast, like a turbo LS Camaro, and then he's like, I'm gonna get into drifting. Buys an S13 shell. Does a big pro charged LS into that thing.
That dude rips.
It's incredible how fucking talented that guy is. He just like all of a sudden went from like I'm drifting now to like I'm literally one of the best ones at Power Cruise out there drifting. Mm-hmm. Fucking amazing. It's
incredible to watch.
Yeah, it really is. I don't know where I was going with this. Weird.
We're talking about drifting.
Yeah. Drifting,
and
I know.
Shitboxes.
We're talking about BMW engines and
thank you. Yeah. And so I've been picking his brain about like chassis and stuff like that, because we've got the RX-7 and I want to build this thing into a drift car. Drift car / just tire shredder, and you know, he's like, as far as chassis go, that's one of them. He said was an E36 is a fantastic chassis to get into with.
One of my really good buddies, his name is Dylan, he literally bought an E36 for $500.
That's fucking awesome.
It needed something small, like a clutch line or something. So he did that in 20 minutes, running and driving, and he spent more on his racing seat than he did the entire car.
Jesus.
And he slides it pretty well, too. Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
And with a $500 car, if he hits a pole with it or something like that, there's no fucks given.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Hammer the dent out.
Yeah,
or make the dent bigger. Who cares?
Yeah.
Right. Cut it and make a trunk and do it and store tires back there.
Yeah, exactly. Then take it to one rally cross and.
Yeah. And
then stop driving.
It's become a landmark, though, for my house. And people are like, oh, where do you live? I'm like, 59th. You know where the blue Civic is? They're like, oh, yeah. I'm like, that's my house.
Oh, they haven't towed it yet?
I don't have a statue in my yard. I just say, the blue Civic. And people instantly know what they're talking about.
You don't have calendar parking on your street, right? Yeah, there's no calendar parking. So that turd can just sit there all the fucking time.
And I don't think it happened in Minnesota, but there was another state where the street, not the police, but the parking enforcer or whatever, marked a tire on a vehicle and came back to check it and gave him a ticket. And the lady fought it, saying that it was unconstitutional and how they had no right to mark her vehicle because I can't remember what reason she gave. But the court ruled in her favor and said, no, you can't do that. You can't mark somebody's vehicle to judge whether or not they've moved it.
Huh. Interesting.
So I might be in the clear to just let the fucking thing sit there until we decide what to do with it.
Jump it. We're going to jump it.
You look like you need to make a bad decision. You want to buy a car?
I'm going to need about $350.
$1,000. I'll even drop it off. I'll even drive it to work for you.
Oh, man.
It'll start right up.
I have no doubt that it will.
Yeah.
Things are reliable as hell.
For a six-pack of beer, you can do burnouts until it explodes.
Yeah, and that might take a while, actually.
Yeah,
comes
exactly.
With a free motor.
Series.
Ooh.
Which I found is not a selling point.
No. Yeah. Not as
like,
a Honda.
If you have to throw in a motor with it.
Yeah, that's true. And then they go, well, okay, what else is wrong with it?
Well, it's blue.
Yeah.
It's like this Subaru has a brand new engine. All it needs is a new engine.
It's a great meme.
Oh, I love that meme.
All right, Ryan. So I got to ask you a little bit about pushing pistons.
Uh-oh.
So you are one of the originators, right?
I actually showed up significantly later than a lot of the other guys.
Oh, no shit. Yep. Okay.
I think it's at 2,200 members or something. I don't know. I think I was in probably the 400s or so.
Mm-hmm.
And
I always thought you started it for some reason.
No,
or
my
helping start it.
Yeah, my buddy Seth and Alex, they started with a couple of their friends. And they brought it up to that point. I joined in, and then we all just try to promote it as much as possible. Nice positivity, you know, righting some wrongs, so to say.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think with any car club, there are bumps and scrapes along the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting. So, I mean, you're one of the head honchos with the Push and Pistons group. I started DSCE with a couple of guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny to see, like, how cyclical all of this kind of is. Like, because for a while there, we were sort of like, oh, man, why is there this new group coming up when we've sort of got this existing car club?
Yeah.
And I realized that, like, one, everybody becomes a little territorial.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you are a new guy showing up to a car club, they're sort of like this, whether the car club's intending to do it or not, it's not the most inviting environment because dudes are really territorial.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like it kind of puts off that vibe. But also, like, it's fun to create something of your own. So it makes a lot of sense that part of the reason why we created DSC in the first place was we didn't fit in with the older guys because they were mostly, like, muscle cars and the classics and stuff. We split off from Minnesota Sport Compacts, which is, like, our original car club that we were a part of because of a bunch of drama. But then it's like Push and Pistons came along, and it makes a lot of sense why that kind of came to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of this stuff where, you know, fuck those guys, they suck, or they're not that welcoming. It doesn't matter. We all like cars. Why can't we just hang out together?
Right.
It's,
that's right.
It just doesn't matter. You have a shoebox right there. I don't know a damn thing about it, but I can respect that it's awesome. You know, it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I think that's kind of the beauty of it. But also, like, especially from being a we're in the Duluth area, which we've got what, 95,000 in Duluth, 92, something like that.
I think we're at like 160 with Superior.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. So like the surrounding area is like 160 for Duluth.
I'm like, what signs are you reading?
A lot of homeless movies.
Makes sense when.
Yeah. See all the tents?
Holy shit.
Yeah. And it's interesting because we have so many big car clubs for such a small area. Mm-hmm. But I don't actually think it matters. I think like once we can all kind of get past the like, oh, I'm with this group or I'm with that group, everybody just ends up getting together. Like, so when the like the cruise nights and stuff like that happen with like the older guys, you kind of end up with a mixture in those as well. And you realize like, oh, this car club thing is it. It's not necessarily that important. It's sort of like your group of friends, and you give your a name to the group that you hang out with.
Yeah.
But ultimately, like the car club area still shows up to all the events, and they're also pretty friendly when it comes to like face to face stuff. Yeah,
they almost kind of blend together. Like, there's a lot of guys that come off the top of my head instantly that are part of DSE, who are OG DSE members, and they're active in pushing pistons.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And vice versa. I mean, and like you said, at the end of the day, if there's a car event going on, we all just kind of go hang out.
Exactly. That's the funny thing. I know. It's it was funny like how all that drama kind of starts up in the beginning though. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, it's I think it's just the growing pains though too of having a new group.
Right.
Yeah.
Because whenever you start something new, the people that have been around the longest are I don't want to say are going to judge you, but they're gonna watch you.
Oh yeah.
And they're gonna be quick to call out any bullshit right off the bat.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because like. So Push and Pistons came together in the time of social media.
Mm-hmm.
And this makes me sound so fucking old when like
DSE was on tablets.
DSE formed in like 2006 or something like that, or 2007.
Donnie, and that's fax the thing. Me the next meet.
Exactly.
Pagers.
I'll page you. Yeah, beep, beep, beep. Oh, there's a car meet. And so we started on the forum game, but like... The forums are a little bit different in the way that it sort of logs situations. Mm-hmm. Like social media is so easy to just post up everybody's fuck ups, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So Push and Pistons had a few incidences early on in the whole spray paint situation, and then like the doing the donuts down in the fucking Park Point and all that kind of stuff. And that like rubbed the older guys the wrong way. But if we're honest, the shit that happened with DSCE in the early days,
just as bad, probably.
I mean, there's a certain Suburban that rolled in a swamp and people were kind of drinking.
Okay, that was before me, then.
It was before you. I mean, there was like some, let's just say like there were some rough moments as that had that hit the internet, we would have caught the same shit from the older group, too, that caught the judgment of them.
I will say this, though. The perk, I guess, to being an older group is the forum. Because the forum was a way to actually log in detail every single thing, which was fantastic.
It's hard to log nowadays.
Yeah, you don't get a build thread on social media. Yeah. But on a forum, if you were going to say building a Honda, you could easily go on there and be like, oh, wow, okay, so Kyle did this, or there's that guy from Hibbing. I can't remember his name. Or Virginia. He had the red Civic Si.
Sean,
thank you. But you could go on there and you could be like, oh, they're running this setup. You could instantly find out who to ask about what. Yeah, I'll take one.
I'm getting close. I'll probably just take one.
Yeah, don't be a bitch. Have one.
Thanks, man.
I know two might put you over the top.
Hey, it's okay. I had Taco Bell before.
Getting white girl wasted.
Taco Bell. So when you said you had to go pee earlier, did you mean like have your butt or?
So much liquid.
So what are the goals of Push and Pistons? Since you're a head honcho, I'm just going to pick your brain a little bit about it.
Well, just continue to have a good time. I don't know. I've been doing the same thing for what, the past... Well, I've been a part of it for 6 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just continue having good meets and hanging out and talking to each other. I mean, one thing that I've preached from the start is that, like, I don't disown having a good time, you know, like doing burnouts or donuts, you know, that's fine. There's a time and place, you know,
for sure.
Like, I don't want to be in Canal Park or something and you're just banging off the Revy, you know, or sliding in the center lot or center parking lot. The hell are you doing?
Yeah. You know, somebody could easily get hurt.
It's the biggest tourist attraction in Duluth. Chill out, hang out with everyone else. When we're leaving, that's different. You know, if we're
every
all leaving,
single car club does it.
It's time and place. If we're leaving, that's the time. Mm-hmm. If you're the one that's leaving and leaving 45 other people there, you're just going to attract everyone.
Yeah,
It's just going to spark shit.
It's on a scenario based situation too. I mean, there's a bunch like a bunch of kids around. Like, lay off of it.
Well, no. I've tossed out the ban hammer because people are being jackasses. Yeah. It's just, you know, I don't want that affiliated with it because time and place. It just keeps coming back to that.
It only takes one person to ruin it for everybody.
It just takes one person to ruin it for everyone. It's just that simple.
Do you anticipate that you guys are going to run any, like, cruises or anything like that? Have, a yearly cookout at the end of the year? That's a common event.
I like to personally host the openers every year, like, I don't know, early in the season.
That's right.
Where we get a bunch of burgers, brats, come hang out. You know, we'll go on a cruise afterwards and then one at the end of the year, too, just to kind of
wrap up
the significance of the year kind of thing.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay. Yeah, and I really need to get out to one of those because I get invited every year and then
that should
never...
be our goal for our projects.
That's not a bad idea, honestly.
When is it?
Well, this one that's coming up, I'm aiming for the last week of September.
Nice.
That's actually feasible.
Yeah.
Wait, isn't that when Cruise for Cancer is?
Cruise for Cancer, I think, is the 18th. Middle. 18th? Yeah.
Yes, 18th.
Right. 18th.
Because okay. I specifically plan it to not run into Cruise for Cancer or Proving Grounds.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are going to be doing that, so why the hell would I schedule for that? Right. You know?
So much shit. September's somehow became the busiest month of the year.
It's because everybody wants to get events in, and it's like the last chance for the weather to be fairly consistent.
The only car thing I'm trying to make it to is Cruise for Cancer. I can't do Proving Grounds because I'll be in Wisconsin. I'm gone the first weekend. So it's like, luckily, Cruise for Cancer is later in the month.
Yeah. So yeah, it's busy.
Shit.
It is a busy month for sure.
Literally, the last weekend of September is the only weekend I'm free.
And hopefully we don't get snow. Because they're talking a crazy winter this year. So it's possible to have early snowfall as well, which would really suck.
I've never had snowfall on one of the closer meets. I've had rain a little bit, but never snow, which is... I'm holding strong to that.
As long as it hits before like the second week in October, I think you're almost always good.
You should be fine.
With DSE, we always had like an October 1st. We'd aim for like Apple Fest kind of around there so that we get the fall colors and we'd cruise out to like Bayfield or whatever. That was
a
really
beautiful
common
cruise.
One. It's gorgeous, yeah. And like for the most part, weather was pretty cohesive or cooperative, rather, for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. Like, so you do, like, the organized, you know, year start, year end type meets and stuff like that.
Yeah, to an extent. I always get help from all the other admins. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's super fun. Like, I've been running events for fucking, I don't know, 13 years or something like that now for DSCE. Last couple of years has been there's barely any because of just... life and all that kind of shit.
Yeah. Life happens, yeah.
Well, and that's the funny thing is watching, not to cut you off, but to watch Pushing Pistons is the cycle of just car groups and everything like that. Because, again, like you said, DSE was there, and now we're all having kids and a house and stuff like that, and watching you guys slowly transition into that a little bit.
Well, I know for the admin group that we have, we all are starting to focus on other things. I mean, I'm married and trying to buy a damn house now.
Yeah.
You know, Alex is drifting more, so he's doing less local stuff by, you know, but still obviously being there. You know, a lot of us we're all moving on doing more adult things, but still trying to stay fairly active in the group.
Yeah.
And I noticed this year it's been a really good summer. A lot of good quality things have happened, but it's been a lot less quantity from when, like, four or five years beforehand.
It's a lot less like impromptu, like, oh, let's all just go hang out and drive tonight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They're like, I can't. I have so much shit going
exactly.
on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose. I mean, that's kind of inevitable. You know, you get a significant other, you get married, new expectations. As soon as you own a house, that's a whole different can of cheese as far as like time constraints. But it's, if I had to guess, if you guys will follow a similar path to like what DSCE did, mm-hmm. you guys will probably get in a groove and still hang out a ton, but you guys will probably move more to like hanging out, partying together at houses, mm-hmm. kind of doing your thing like that.
Or having garage nights. You know, doing that type of stuff.
And that's the fucking best. Yeah, honestly.
That is, that is so much fun.
It is a lot of fun. And like the whole like the family aspect of it as well. Like all the wives end up being a part of the car mm-hmm. clubs and everything. And a lot of your ladies are just straight up part of the car clubs. Right? Oh, yeah. They all kind of have their own cars.
Yeah.
Except Shaylee. Shaylee
isn't. Yeah, she doesn't yet. But
does she want one for $1,000?
Oh, you've been saving that one, haven't
you?
God
damn.
Comes with a motor.
This fucking kid.
Jeez.
Hey, I gotta try.
Hey, yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
Easy now.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'm really excited for is my hope is that there's going to be some more kind of universal events that are going to happen in the area that are going to draw everybody in. Mm-hmm. I think Machines and Caffeine was good for that. Yes. And we'll get that figured out here probably next year. I don't know if it's going to happen this year, but another thing that I look at is like Brian's track.
Yep.
I really hope to see like more, you know, like everybody's invited kind of events happen mm-hmm. there, especially if there's any like autocross that could happen or, you know, mm-hmm. it's tricky because it's a little oval, but it looks like you can set up slalom, you can do like some tight little corners and stuff. Like there might come some kind of cool events that happen up there. So my hope is that like that becomes another one of those spots mm-hmm. where it's sort of universal and that everybody's invited and, you know.
So I think it was about a half month ago or so.
Half? You mean 2 weeks?
Well, that is another way to say half a month. I don't know. It was a month. Always got to throw stones, don't you?
Well, if you do, we're so fucking stupid sometimes.
Hey, it's mean.
So here's what you do. You wait until a really hot day in the shop.
Yeah.
And just wait for that moment where Donnie's standing with his legs open a little bit.
Ooh,
get down behind him and just punch nice and high, but don't hit the ass.
Yep.
You'll hit the balls from the back.
Graze the taint and just...
Yep. Or else just right behind, just flick.
Precisely.
Yep.
And you will watch
the worst.
Him.
The flick is the worst.
Cry.
No, the blunt ones hurt, but just the the whip.
Yeah, because they shoot the pain up your side. Mm-hmm. And,
well, you feel like you're going to throw up.
Or if you don't throw up.
Yeah.
Bring a man to tears. Like I was saying before I was rudely interrupted, a couple weeks ago, it was about a month, Brian hosted a... just come and hang out.
Yeah, open house night.
Oh, yeah. And he had Humes out there. He was drifting. Mm-hmm. A couple of my other buddies were out there drifting. There was autocross that was set up. So it is possible, except for it's really short right now. Mm-hmm. They had a setup where it was a lap scenario. And the entire course was 16 seconds. So it's...
Oh, okay.
Pretty
short.
It's about half the time of like a Brainerd autocross course, maybe even a third of the time. But it is possible. And we've tried to talk to Brian about that type of stuff. And there's a lot of moving parts even before we can get serious with it.
Mm-hmm.
But we've stayed in contact and we're trying to get something set up. But
that's awesome.
But there's a lot of moving parts.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well,
so he's got to set up a lot before he can start actually hosting events.
He's got to, like, figure out liabilities and stuff.
Oh, that guy's got a full plate.
Insurance, all that kind of fun jazz.
You know, because if you figure, like, you need to protect your own assets, mm-hmm. so you need to form an LLC. Well, then afterwards you need to figure out all of, like, the liabilities. You have, like, the location that can host the events mm-hmm. and, like, all the things in place. Bathrooms, running water, all that kind of crap. Like, if you try and run a legal event...
He's
you might
have to
have
a
lot
spillage
of that shit.
And all that too.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
If somebody blows radiator hose and dumps coolant out,
mm-hmm.
he's got to be certified mm-hmm. to say like that's going to happen. Yeah, you know?
that's so much shit.
Well, one thing that he actually brought up is that like when it comes to bikes and cars, that's a totally different set of insurance. You know, mm-hmm. you got to apply for each, and then if he wants to host RVs for camping, got to get insurance for that too. It's a completely different thing.
I suppose.
I knew there was a lot of legwork involved in all that. I had no clue, just from the 20 minutes that I talked to him, how much he has on his plate. he's doing God's work over there.
Yeah, he really is. It's so fucking exciting to watch. Man.
Well, and it's the first summer with the track, too.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine he's going to do a ton of legwork over the wintertime when he's not doing shit out there. And that's when you get all of your insurance in line, you make all your phone calls, all that kind of jazz. And
the amount of permits that guy's got to pull. God.
No kidding.
I don't even want to see that pamphlet. Jeez.
what about noise? Mm-hmm. Noise pollution and all that. He's got to figure that shit out, too. Which he should be okay because he's out there always.
But. Yeah, I don't know how much drama he's going to have. He's not in city limits. So I don't know that he has that same set of rules.
That'll help. But like,
from what I heard, the people that are around him are completely okay with everything. As long as it's, you know, like at a reasonable time. You don't want to be sliding at 10:30 at night.
But like now is the time to cover your ass because let's say those people move or something happens. It's like, and you get a Karen in there.
You get a cool neighbor now and then. You know, 2 years, you get a Karen.
Yeah.
Yeah, God, that's scary to think about.
That's terrifying.
But I guess, like, if nothing else, he isn't probably a fairly minimal amount invested in it. And I don't know what he intends to do, like, long term. I'm sure they're going to try and, like, pave more and, you know, build a bigger place and be able to do a little bit more with it. But, like, right now, if shit hit the fan and he had, like, a lot of crap to work out, he doesn't have a lot into it yet, so he can still play around, have fun with it.
Use it for own personal use.
Exactly.
He owns a track.
Yeah, I know. It's so badass. It's like the Freedom Factory. Yeah. It's so funny how many people like compare his situation to like the Freedom Factory.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty badass. It's awesome. Yeah, it's really cool exciting. And he's a good dude to own it,
too. Oh, he's so cool.
Yeah, he's a fucking great guy.
I talked to him for 20 minutes, and it was just... It was great. The dude's an awesome guy. Mm-hmm. Extremely knowledgeable.
Right.
So we need more of that in this area.
Yeah.
Well, he's the right person to own that.
Just more tracks.
Yeah. More tracks for sure. Yeah. Just simply more tracks.
Yeah, we really do. I think it's awfully weird that, A, being so far north, but we have such a huge car community in what's probably the rustiest state in the country. And no place really to go play, with the exception of Brainerd and down in the cities.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
There's Road America in Wisconsin, but
that's like a six-hour drive,
that's
though.
That's so far away, you know? There's that's the closest paved circle, even.
We have, you know, Cruise for Cancer, World of Wheels, four car groups in Duluth that I can think of.
Yeah,
and so I think not even a drag strip.
The biggest thing, drag strips definitely are surprising that we don't have anything like that around here. An actual like a track, like turn road course type thing doesn't surprise me because that's more like if you think about like the demographics that are around here, there aren't that many guys, at least from the older groups, that would be like super gung ho about a road course. Yeah. Whereas our generation.
We're fully gung-ho.
Oh, my God. Like, I'm pretty indifferent. Like, I like drag racing because that's what I got started with was drag racing. But I would much rather have a road course.
Oh,
so now we've got that and we've got autocross as demands from this group of auto enthusiasts. So I'm not surprised that things like Brian's Place is becoming a thing and... Depending on like Brian's situation and what he's willing to open up, I think autocross is going to hit the area before too long, and then it'll become a little more of a recurring event in the area,
which would be nice because I mean,
I just think the demand has to be there first.
I think the demand is there for AutoX
now. It is,
it just surprises me that doesn't happen here.
Well, again, I think
we have the area to do it.
It's surprising to us because we're the ones who want it. But if you ask anybody who's in their 40s if you want to do autocross, they're probably like,
"What the hell is that?"
But I'd like to drag race, you know.
Yeah.
So then they just go down to Brainerd, which I'm sure they would have preferred to have a drag racing place up here. But in order to drag race, you need a quarter mile or you need an eighth mile strip, and it's a whole bunch of drama. But to set up an autocross.
Just
what do you
parking
need?
Lot.
Parking lot.
You need a big parking lot.
A shit ton of cones.
You need your insurances. Mm-hmm. And then, cones, people willing to run it. And there's a couple places in town that are pretty good markers for where things could happen. I've looked into it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I've also.
It's very feasible. Yeah. We just really haven't pushed it further because, especially when I heard about Brian's situation, I was like, oh, cool. Well, let's see what pans out with this. Yeah. But... I think we're the group that goes, what the fuck? Why isn't this here? And then we make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've
make it happen then. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Exactly. I've attempted to do that stuff. I've contacted places and all that stuff, and it just because they've never been exposed to it. They don't know. There's no examples to go off of.
Yeah,
it's like especially in this area. Yeah. There's nothing to go off of. So you go there and you know, do your sales pitch, and they just say, "No, just out of being safe."
They're not a car guy, so they're like, "So it sounds like a bunch of jackasses going fast in a parking lot."
Why the hell would we want you leaving marks on our parking lot?
That's the bigger thing. Yeah. It's the aesthetic risk. Mm-hmm. There's the like, okay, are you guys going to get injured? Exactly. Who's going to run this? Is there like, you know, a legitimate organization behind it?
Yeah.
Yeah. These questions.
Yeah. What's the plus for us? You know,
exactly.
And I completely understand
money off of it.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. So what we need to do is buy a parking lot.
Can you imagine the upkeep for a fucking parking lot?
Ugh. It can't be that bad though. If it's just a parking lot,
I don't know. Pavement is expensive. For my little driveway, I got quoted $5,000 to do this little thing.
Yeah, but if you're buying a parking lot, it's already paved. Like all you have to do is
keep it up.
Yeah, okay. Stay on top of potholes.
Yeah.
So think about all the turns and shit in Brainerd that we bitch about. Now think about that. Now you have to pay for it. Yeah.
Okay, you're not wrong. Yeah. I don't like what you're saying, but you're not wrong.
This is the part where we're all bummed out.
That's right. Man, yeah.
Guess we'll go home. Cry myself to sleep now.
Yeah.
Dreams are getting shot down.
I'm excited. I think there's going to be some cool shit that's coming to the area.
There's so much potential.
Yeah, there is. And that's part of why I'm picking the brain of a dude running pushing pistons. Is like, I know DSCE is going to come back around once we all kind of like our kids get a little bit older and we all get like life a little more dialed in. Our car clubs can be more active.
Mm-hmm.
But we always wanted to see DSCE continue after. And honestly, we didn't do a good job of welcoming the younger group to try and like pick up the reins and carry it from there.
Mm-hmm.
But pushing pistons, like with the exception of like that early window of time where it sort of was some bad initial PR, you guys seem to be running a really good really good car club, you know, from here on out. It's looking really good. So I'm excited to see that, like, more than anything, there's a lot of energy in the car clubs around here. There's still, like, a lot of car things going on, people wanting to put on events and stuff like that. So that's good. Yeah. That gives everybody hope that, like, okay, cool, it's not going to peter out and we're going to lose things like Motorhead Madness or, you know, like random car club gatherings or cruises at the beginning and the end of the year, that kind of thing.
Well, and Duluth is weird that we have car events that nobody knows about.
Yeah, 100%.
The downtown car show. It's an awesome event. It's like we're going to block off all of downtown and bring your shit out. Nobody knows about it.
Or like a lot of people don't know about the Tower Avenue cruise.
Yeah.
I learned about that this year, and I've been one of the leaders of Pushing Pistons for 4 years now. I just learned about it.
You know what I think is happening? I think it's that the older generation, I hate to always break it down in generations, but it's easier for everybody to digest it that way. I think that like the older groups have been running these events forever, and there has never been a very welcoming feel to the younger enthusiasts. So... Yeah, like, we've got this amazing event that happens down in Superior Street every year, but it's always been, like, marketed as classic cars.
Yeah.
Well, that's only going to last for so long.
Either that or the older generation doesn't know how to use social media to advertise to the younger generation. Mm-hmm. Like I said, there's no advertisement ever for that show until my wife says, oh, by the way, there's a car show tonight. You want to go?
Exactly.
I want to put my car
How do you know
there?
About this and I don't?
Yeah.
Well, it was in the newspaper.
Yeah, well, exactly. They know about it because it's for shopping, honestly, because a lot of businesses would have shopping shit out. They have sidewalk sales and stuff. So the wives would know more about it than we would, with the exception of the older group who would just like it ends up on their calendars because they run it every year.
Like, at the very least, put a sign in O'Reilly's window so I know.
Well, I'm pretty sure they do, but it's...
Never seen anything.
Oh, maybe my mistake. Maybe not.
I've never paid enough attention, so I have no idea.
But I think like we're at a point where I think a lot of people are realizing that you have to incorporate the younger groups, and the younger groups might have different tastes than you. Yeah. But you have to incorporate them if you want these events to survive.
Yep. Yeah.
Otherwise, the car scene goes away.
So you've got people completely. Like Mike Bushy. Mm-hmm. He's one of the head honchos in mm-hmm. The Wednesday Nighters group. That older group of guys. Mostly he's from the muscle car group, the Tony yeah. Netzel yep. age group. He recognizes that we need to involve everybody. You know, more the merrier. So he's like one of the perfect dudes to be running mm-hmm. a lot of these events. He took over Motorhead Madness.
Yep.
Which will mm-hmm. be
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, so after
that.
Jack yeah. and his wife handed down the reins, you know, he's taking it over. So I think we're going to start seeing some changes to mm-hmm. it. Probably slow, because, again, that older group's yeah. been running it forever, so you don't want to make, like, sudden drastic changes. But
yeah. We're going to put all the muscle cars in the back room.
Yeah.
And all of the imports as soon as you walk
yeah.
in.
Yeah, but, like, part of my thought is I go to, okay, well, we got a network. We yeah. got to get our mm-hmm. our car clubs together. Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can take over one of the rooms where yeah. we end up with Alex's 86, mm-hmm. or we end up with your 350Z. We end up with Brownie's 350Z. Yeah. What's that really nice E36 that the green one that Brownie painted? What is his name?
Eli's.
Really nice car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we end up with like yeah. this new variety. Mm-hmm. New group of people that are like showing up to the car events and starting yeah. to have a presence in it.
Yeah, you know? Which to go along with your Motorhead Madness, another one, the older generation, Mike Podgornik.
Mike's good shit.
He's,
yeah,
he's awesome. He drives Mustangs, you know, older Mustangs. He drove a Model A the other day. You know, it's just
that's badass.
Yeah, and he's so gung ho about getting the younger generation going. Mm-hmm. You know, he's one of the nicest guys that you can meet.
Does he own the 53 car wash?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So he co-signs the shenanigans.
Oh yeah. 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 He
good fucking dude.
Yeah. 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 That car wash, a hosting place of so much shit.
Do you guys still mess around up there? Because I know you guys got in trouble at one
yeah,
time.
Yeah. 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 The cops didn't like that.
Which is weird because you're on private property.
Yeah, but it's private property, yes, but all it mm-hmm. takes is 75 people to call in noise complaints.
And, there were 75 calls.
There was well over double digits.
Damn.
There was a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Was it the same person calling over and over?
No, that I cannot confirm nor deny.
Yeah. Okay. Was it one Karen just like, they're doing it still? I called 30 seconds ago. Where yeah. are you?
But the cops that showed up were so cool. They're just like, hey, we love that you guys are doing this here. The owner, Mike, was there. He says, hey, I own this. It's good to go. And they said, false. It's not good to go. You guys have to stop. We love that you're doing it here and not on the roads, but now you can't do it here.
Wow.
You
know,
there's been a lot of complaints.
So what was their rationale? Why did they fight against that? Why did they say that you can't on private property?
I don't really know how to word it.
Because it was technically because it's a business.
It's technically it's in town technically.
Publicly accessed.
It is publicly accessed, and it's during business hours because it's a 24-hour car wash. It's within business hours, thus meaning that any Joe Schmo can pull in and
so
get hit.
If he would have put a sign underneath the 24 hours that said, with the exception of Fridays exactly. between 10 and midnight,
we never exercised that idea because we don't really want to get more steam than needed. Exactly.
Yeah, the cops could have been major dicks about it. They were super cool. So, why push that? Because, again, that's one of those things, like, if you guys would have fought back on that a little bit, now that looks bad on anybody who's a car
guy.
That's true.
I think that's a good way to handle that, at least.
Yeah, it is a shame that...
It was so much fun. That was a great time.
I saw a couple of little short videos of it, and I was like, God damn, well, I wish we had something like that when we were coming up.
Yeah, no shit.
Like, we would just go down to port and do donuts until somebody got caught.
All I had was Kmart.
Yeah, exactly.
Which reminds me, anybody want to donate... I don't know, a couple $100,000 to buy Kmart here in North Louisville.
Why? How much is it?
I have no clue, but I think it should become an indoor go-kart track.
I completely agree.
Fully blown racing indoor go-kart track.
Mm-hmm. 100% if I
buy it. It's massive.
Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome.
So we form a co-op, and everybody who is a part of that committee pitches in X amount of dollars.
Okay,
so I'm going to start a GoFundMe.
And I'll start an OnlyFans.
You can't, dude.
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, did you hear?
Yeah, they took
no
off
balls.
Sex.
There's
balls.
No more porn
nope.
on OnlyFans.
Which
what a hot button topic.
That's so dumb on their part. that's going to completely
so
ruin.
So here's maybe you've heard the rationale for it as well. I had heard that it has something to do with the credit card companies and they're not wanting so when it becomes an official porn site, there's a lot that you have to do with verifying ages and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, there's like a lot of legalities in it. And there's also the association with it being a like pay for pornography kind of site. So I think there's a lot of drama with that.
I get that, but
one thing that I read,
porn sites still exist. So go fuck yourself.
That's what it's for.
Completely intended.
One thing I read is that their goal was for the longevity of the app. And I'm like, it seems counterintuitive because it seems like it's working pretty well right now, but
yeah, it's like, huh, people had sex 500 years ago and people are still having sex. So
only 500?
Well, whatever.
Damn, that's dog. It.
Wow. I tossed out a number. My point is it's
well, they say that, prostitution is like the oldest profession in the world, so you'd think in terms of longevity that there's nothing
it's
more.
It's gonna keep going strong, right?
So, exactly. Yeah. We love looking at boobs.
Yeah, I think the moral of the story is if you want a career that's never gonna have a shortage,
sell your body.
Exactly.
Except until your body is decrepit and no longer functions.
Then you sell your body to science.
Nice. Yeah, I like the way you think.
Look at that. Jesus Christ. Business model right there.
Goddamn.
Sorry,
it's taking evil turn.
No, I had to.
I'm just waiting for the next thing Donnie has to say. Where's he going with this?
I have no clue. So, yeah, about that weather today and campfire smoke and.
Yeah.
I have no clue. How much more time do we have?
Jesus Christ. Okay. Well, we're an hour in. We can always wrap it at this.
Jesus.
Wow.
I have nowhere to go after
that incredibly anticlimactic moment.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know. We didn't end up talking about sex. And,
well, okay.
It was a climax.
So, throw it out. What's the closer? What's the closer, Ryan? What are we talking about? What's coming up? What can we expect? What's new? What's not happening? What's...
I mean, OnlyFans. I mean, that was it.
Okay, Donnie.
Jesus Christ. You're the guest. You have one job.
He's just going to answer questions. He doesn't have to come up with ideas.
Promote
it's fine.
Stuff.
We're the idiots who do this every single week. We're the ones who are supposed to come up with it. What's your fucking excuse? He's brand new here.
Yeah, my excuse is I'm going on vacation.
You're going on vacation.
I'm in cruise mode right now.
Yeah. Oh, so, okay. God. Let's talk a little bit about cruise mode. Let's close this up by talking about these stupid fucking projects that we've been working on forever.
God. Yeah,
so
dumb fucking
the
projects.
Eternity is where it's
well, so the dumbest thing happened tonight. We made a little bit of progress. Ryan came over and helped me out. We were supposed to bleed the brakes and the clutch, which we did not do.
Didn't even start.
The clutch line is actually plumbed, which is good, and we trimmed the radiator support so it doesn't rub on the intercooler piping anymore, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And we got a drive shaft in, which is also awesome, but we had to drop the differential, and we went to go put it back together, and the flange he used that bolts up to the flange for the diff rubs the rear subframe ever so slightly. Because it's got these like little ears that stick off on two sides, and one of them rubs. And I can't cut it off because it's balanced. It's a balanced shaft. So if I cut it off, cut the little ears off, it's going to affect the weight distribution across the drive shaft.
Oh, that'd feel great.
It might cause a vibration. So we decided we're going to shim the differential down about an eighth of an inch, which should give it enough clearance, which is awesome. But now we have one bolt that doesn't quite line up.
Jesus.
So
what a pain in the ass.
I think what's going to end up happening is I'm going to drop the diff one more time, and I'm going to drill out two of the holes in the cross member where the diff mounts up. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to bolt it back together. But it started.
Gotcha, Jesus.
We started it tonight and it didn't leak fluid out of the transmission. Either because there's no fluid in there anymore or it actually seals up. But the drive shaft is technically in and fits beautifully. Doesn't rub anything like or anything like that. So when I told you, I'm like, if anything's going to give me a headache tonight, it's going to be the drive shaft. Like, it'll be simple. And that's literally what we fought with the entire night.
Well, it was the diff, though.
Technically the diff. But the diff had to get dropped because of the drive shaft. Actually, the dumb thing is, probably not. around the output shaft of the transmission is this metal collar with like a rubber sleeve on it. And we ended up pounding that off after we tried to line up the drive shaft. And come to find out, if we would have done that first, we probably would have never had to drop.
It would have been close.
It would have been really close, yeah. But we probably could have gotten away without dropping everything. We still would have had shims or something in there, though. Yeah.
So it's about an eighth of an inch that those ears are colliding with touching, something.
Just barely.
Is this something we could throw on my lathe and cut off?
No. So there's... So you have the drive shaft, you have the U-joint, and then the U-joint connects to a flange that bolts onto the flange of the differential. Mm-hmm. That new flange has two ears on opposite sides.
Oh, so it's already connected to the drive shaft.
Exactly, yep.
Damn.
And I can't just cut them off because it's going to throw the balance off of everything. Most likely. Yeah. Which is fine. I can shim it down. It's just dumb.
I would call.
It's just so dumb.
I'd call and just find out, like, at the flange, is that going to throw an imbalance into the thing?
I could. Call Jason tomorrow and see what
I don't know, like, where
it's worth at least a call.
He's off on Fridays. Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't matter. I'm gonna be out of town till Wednesday next week, so
yeah,
I can call him when I get back.
Fuck, man.
But other than that, it's literally get that little bullshit squared away, bleed everything, headlights, front bumper.
Damn.
Like, that's it.
It's pretty cool. It's such a shame that,
it's
like...
It's so dumb. It's just little stuff holding me up.
I was looking forward to a text or a call where you're just like, hey, we've got the rear end up in the air. Tires are spinning. This thing's ready to be driven.
Well, so, I never put it in gear, but I think it's going to be good to go.
Mm-hmm.
It, like I said, that drive shaft fits beautifully.
Well, it's a manual transmission, issue. So it's like there's not that many things that could go wrong. Like with this thing, it's a fucking auto, so you never know.
Yeah.
There's just, you know, witchcraft that happens in an auto to make it work.
That kind of crap.
So it's like it's at a point now where I actually could test it out because now I can actually shift the column and set gears and stuff like that. So I will probably test out the drivetrain this weekend on it.
Nice.
But I need to get that front suspension done first. So we'll see. But it's exciting that you're at that point. It's too bad because, like, all of a sudden you're going to be going on this, like, 5-day.
Yeah, we'll be gone for 5 days.
Yeah, this 5-day trip.
Which I'm looking forward to. They announced that. So we're going out to Seattle, mainly because I'm a soccer nut and I want to see Seattle play Portland. And they've decided to turn that whole soccer game into the Pacific Northwest Experience, is what they called it. It's the first time they're doing it. And the women's professional team in Seattle are also playing Portland. So the women play at 4:30, the men play at 7:30, so it's a doubleheader. The stadium opens up at 3, and they decided to have 3 different stages, food trucks, and like 12 bands perform throughout the night to make it one big experience.
Okay, that's cool.
They're wearing special jerseys to tribute Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, wow.
So one band is a Jimi Hendrix cover band that we'll be performing while we're there.
Okay, that's cool.
That sounds like a damn good time.
So, we bought the tickets, awesome. And I'm like, I don't know why these are so expensive, but whatever. It's like, this is on my bucket list to go do. I don't care. I'll throw the money at it. I want to get this knocked off. And then they announced last night, like, oh, yeah, by the way, like, we're a food truck. Like,
you got a whole damn day.
They released the schedule, and it's all local bands, and some of the bands have, like, 70,000 views on Spotify and stuff, so they're supposed to be pretty good. So we're like, okay, good. Well, awesome. I guess Sunday we're going to listen to music and watch soccer and eat some good food.
Yeah, that sounds fucking awesome, man. Okay, so you're going to be in Seattle?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Which should be a good time.
Should be a hoot, yeah, man. It's a fun city. Yeah, it's a little bit of a clusterfuck.
Everyone who's been there has said it's just incredible.
Well, what happened is Seattle got like crazy popular all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. And then they had something like 500,000 people move into the area in like 5 months or 6 months or something like that. Yeah. Wow. That was it was funny because we did our honeymoon there.
Yeah.
And
not we, him and his wife.
Wait, really?
Well, I mean,
technically Brainerd would be
when should we announce?
I think now's a great time.
It is legal. Yeah, I don't think
we'll save it. Okay. You could definitely feel it. And it was funny because everything was
it's electric in here.
Yeah.
you could see like they're trying to like catch up and build the infrastructure, mm-hmm. and it just like wasn't enough. Like they're building like a whole new subway system through the middle of it, or a tram system or something through the middle of the city. Oh, when I was like there, and it was a clusterfuck. So you'd see like the highway, because we were riding on a train that runs from Portland up. Was it the train? No, it was a bus system. Yeah, but anyway, you just see what a clusterfuck everything was out there, and how busy the area got. It was pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense, like, you know, you've got 500,000 people moving into the area at once. So I don't know, like, how crazy it's going to be for you to drive. Are you guys renting a car? Yeah.
Yep, because we're going to go to the Olympic National Park while we're out there.
The rainforest?
Yeah. It's like 2 hours from our Airbnb.
Bring your boots.
Bring my boots?
Bring your boots.
Yeah, your designer booties.
Yes. I was told that if I'm doing any hiking up there, that I need gear for it.
No shit.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe there's like some more touristy kind of trails or something, but my buddy warned me. Jason Eason. You've met Jason, right?
Yes. I'm pretty sure I have. If I saw Jason, I'd probably recognize him.
He's like, it's not typical hiking.
No. It's not like here where there's like, oh, there's a nicely carved trail.
Maybe there is. I don't know. There's probably some touristy kind of trails and stuff like that. But he's like, you know, it's a rainforest.
Regardless, it's going to be a blast.
Oh, yeah. It's fucking gorgeous up there, dude.
And we're doing that. We're doing a movie memorabilia museum while we're there that has like all their, not all of them, but a bunch of the like original Star Wars props and like 80s horror films and stuff like that. The mask from like Pinhead and shit like that.
That's fucking cool.
So us being movie nuts, we're like, okay, we're gonna go there. I think we're gonna go up in the Space Needle. I can't remember. She had some other stuff she wanted to do.
I can't remember the name of it. There's a music museum like right in town. Oh, I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, don't they have one of the guitars called from Nirvana? Like one of Kurt Cobain's guitars there?
So when we went there, it was the Nirvana tribute or whatever. And I'm just drawing a blank on this.
We say Nirvana. You have no idea what we're talking about. I'm pretty sure Miley Cyrus wore one of their t-shirts once.
For Jesus reference. Christ, Donnie.
No?
I was going to make a joke.
Okay, so it's the...
you could probably guess where the joke is going.
Museum of Pop Culture. So it used to have a different stitches name. I don't know what Museum it used of, to be.
Museum of Pop... That might be the one we're going to, but the one... Oh, she said it was movie-based.
Yeah, the Museum of Pop Culture. When we went, it was a different name, but it was fucking amazing. It was such a cool place, and it was beyond just being a Nirvana tribute. It also was like a tribute to like a lot of the music from the early 90s and late 80s. And then you got past that main setup, and then you see just the rest of it. And it was like Jimi Hendrix's signed guitar was there, and you see stuff from the Grateful Dead, and there was like Aretha Franklin memorabilia there. And it was like, it was really cool because there's a lot of interactive stuff as well. And I'm just like a fucking music fanatic. So Chloe and I were just in, you know, cloud nine being there. It was a lot of fun. So check it out. It's really cool.
Oh, yeah.
And the area surrounding it's really fun too. Yeah, just like
we don't have enough stuff to like book every single day, because we normally try to do a couple of big things and then just have days to just putz around.
How long are you gonna be there? Because I got some suggestions.
So we land in Seattle Saturday at 8:30 a.m. and we will leave Wednesday I think at 10.
So you're there the whole time? You're not leaving Seattle?
Yeah, we're not leaving Seattle.
Okay.
So Sunday evening's pretty booked. I think Sunday morning we're going to try to hit up that museum.
Do you have like a full day that you don't have any plans for?
Either Monday or Tuesday. One of those days will be the Olympic Park, but
so I'm going to I'll help kind of create a little itinerary for
Here's
you.
Here's a knitting museum.
I say before you start, I'm going to go to the bathroom quick and then I'll be right back.
Sounds Again?
Good. Yeah, I got baby bladder. I'm sorry.
God damn. You just want there some Depends.
That would be awesome.
At least you'd have an excuse to piss yourself this time.
Okay. So
just say everything bad about him now.
Now we're just gonna rip on him.
Yeah. So he's such a piece of shit. Now. I'm joking.
God damn it! What is the Puget Sound? Okay. So if you and it's a day, like you're gonna use a day to do this, but if I could make any recommendation, it's take the ferry to Port Townsend.
Okay.
So what you're going to do is head up towards Mount Vernon. So you're going, because you're renting a car, right?
Yep.
So if you head north out of Seattle, head towards Mount Vernon, and then go up the Puget Sound, leave fucking early this day. You get to take a ferry across the Puget Sound to a adorable little town called Port Townsend. When you go there, you'll be so fucking glad that you took this trip, dude.
How far away is it? Because we were looking at whale watching, but we were having to travel, I think, 4 hours north of Seattle to get there.
Trying to Anacortes?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's pretty close to Anacortes.
Okay. I might not be able to convince the wife, because she's like, oh, if we were going to go that far north, she's like, we would have rented an Airbnb up there for the day instead of being on the road 8 hours in one day.
Oh, God. I would have to look at the travel time for it. I don't remember it being that long. But then again, like, when you get up into the Puget Sound area, like, so you leave Mount Vernon, you start heading towards the Puget Sound. That trek is kind of long, especially when you're getting down into like these little twisty roads to get to where the ferry's at. I remember that taking quite a while. But this is when I took the Porsche out there, and it was, I don't know, when you're driving a fucking old Porsche, you just not really isn't really a thing.
Like, this is taking me 3 hours.
Yeah, you don't really think about it. But
you should message me all of that.
Yeah,
so I can look into that.
It's amazing.
I'm gonna completely forget the moment we turn off the computer.
It's such a good experience. And like Port Townsend is like this very Bayfield looking town, but there's a couple of little, like, there's a little diner there that is straight out of 1950s. It is
That would be cool.
There is a, like, hidden, like, music store. It's, like, you'll be walking in the main drag, and you see, like, this little teeny alley, and down in, like, the bottom of this building is this, like, you go down these little stairs, and then all of a sudden there's, like, this music sign over here. There's a couple little shops tucked in the back. It's, like, this subterranean thing.
Sounds like a place you're going to get jumped.
No, dude. You get Shanghai and Portland. That's what that is. Oh, okay. Yeah. But, nice. Like, this little town, it's worth checking out. It's so fucking
cool. That sounds awesome.
It is. It's the fucking best. And if you're with a wife, like, she'll
she's like, oh,
this is worth it. This is really cute.
Okay. Well, yeah. Send me all that information. Like, otherwise I'm going to forget it.
That sounds
like a lot of fun.
If you have a chance to go whale watching, do it, though. If it's between Port Townsend and whale watching, go do whale watching.
Okay, we were going to, but with a 4-hour drive one way to do it, it's like, that's 8 Wait, hours
four
on
4
the,
hours.
Yeah, she was saying it was
Are you
a
guys staying
drive.
In like South Seattle? Like,
yeah.
We're
on the southern side of Seattle.
Okay.
Which is why it's a 2-hour drive to Olympic Park.
Okay. I could probably make some suggestions about the south end of it. It honestly, like,
go here if you want to get robbed. I know a place to go buy good beer.
I would seriously tell you to go to Portland for a night. Like, if you're that close to the south end of it, Portland is like 4 hours, I think, from there, something like that.
Bad.
Like, if you do a one night trip down there, like, I can give you some suggestions that. You'll fucking dude, Portland. Oh my god!
The fact that you didn't even turn to
a whole new chapter is open.
He's just like, oh yeah. He's like, just strip clubs. Like, I got a bookstore for you to go to and everything.
Yeah, hentai theater. That's the thing. There's an anime porn theater there.
Anime.
Yes.
Huh.
It's fucking. I didn't go. I heard about
it.
It's
Shrek.
A fucking riot. yes. It's the Looney Tunes. Jesus Christ. I can make some suggestions that would appeal to the both of you. We'll put it that way.
Well, she's not big into anime.
Not yet.
There are many. Whatever your heart desires. Portland is a very fun city. Very fun city. It's worth a day trip down there. And I can make many G-rated suggestions, and I can make some, you know, topless coffee shop suggestions.
Oh, I'm totally in for that. I like coffee.
Portland loves their nudies, man. They just fucking... They have a naked bicycle ride every year, where it's just like thousands of people naked riding their bicycles through the middle of
town. I do that, I get in trouble.
Yeah.
How'd you get in trouble doing that?
And that's how we ended up a red dot on the map.
Nobody wants to see that bouncing around on a seat. There's a fucking pedaling through a canal.
So when you sit on a bicycle seat nude, do your cheeks spread over it? Or
just
like,
got a testicle on either side.
It just engulfs the seat.
a testicle on either side, and then it's just kind of hanging out on the top.
Okay.
His cheeks just kind of grab the seat.
Yeah, that's what he holds on. That's why he rides handless. Whenever you see bicycle riders that are handless, you just know they're
just clenching.
They're clenching really hard. Exactly. Banana seats. They're just holding down. So as far as the Ford goes, it's basically...
Transition.
Yeah. Basically ready to go. It's in the next week or so. She should be driving.
Oh, yeah. So we might actually have two driving cars Labor Day weekend.
Yes.
Which would be huge.
So I kind of hate you because you're fucking leaving.
Yeah, I fucking hate you too. Okay, how's that feel?
At a weekend when both of the fucking cars could be driving. I got a feeling both cars could leave the garages on Sunday.
Okay, technically, if I pushed mine outside of the garage, it would leave the garage.
Oh, boo.
In my defense, I've been planning this trip for 2 years. We were supposed to go... sit and spin, buddy. We were supposed to go last year, but then no, everyone's got a cough, so we didn't go. Yeah. I shouldn't make fun of COVID, because that's somewhat serious to take care of. But
sure.
But yeah, so we were supposed to go last year, but then COVID, which is why we're going this year. It's a
great story, buddy.
Okay, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, but you're leaving at a time when both of these cars be running. I know, you've had a fucking plan, whatever.
I got five days with no kids and just my wife.
Hey, that sounds pretty great.
It sounds incredible.
You could have one day with the 30 driving. I mean, what's more important to you?
Well, I'm not going to go there.
Sorry, Christine.
I'm sorry, one affects my body differently.
I don't know how far I want to take the gross jokes with this.
One of them touches me back. We'll put it that way.
Back. Well, I mean, if you just hang it off the rev limiter for long enough, that's it'll touch you back.
It's still a good vibration.
It'll throw a rod at you. Yeah. Yeah. But I got a feeling like the Ford could probably leave the garage this weekend. But here's the thing. Now I've got a dilemma. Because I want to film this thing, and I want you to be there for it, because we've been building this thing for so long.
He always blames me for his downfalls.
Well, yeah. My learning disabilities, my height differences. Exactly. My girth. It's all your fault. It's all your fault. So both of these fucking cars, it's probably going to be like rainy on Sunday, but both these fucking cars could have been driving, man. They could have been. Now what? We're going to have to wait till what, Thursday?
Yes.
So podcast is not happening next
Hopefully
Thursday.
Thursday if I can get the rest of my shit done.
Yeah.
Because I won't be in the garage tonight later tonight or tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So we head down to the cities right after work.
Nice.
So yeah, no car until Thursday.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Unless I call in sick tomorrow.
Half-assed enthusiast.
Which has crossed my mind multiple times.
Is it supposed to be smoky tomorrow?
God damn. It could be.
No?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yep.
So
there we go.
So hopefully next podcast, we have some good news about the cars. Mm-hmm. Hopefully moving under their own power, doing things. I don't know. If they're not, he's going to blame me anyways. So
maybe.
Because you blame me for fucking everything.
Find a way. Life finds a way. Yeah.
You're just too easy to blame for almost everything.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us for another Bruce with the Dudes podcast. We'll see you next week.
Or not. And if we don't, it's my fault. So, yeah. Fuck it.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Ryan, for joining us.
Yes. Hey,
bye-bye.
Anytime. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, yeah, that.
Hey, fuck you, Donnie.
Whatever. I don't fucking care.